Coming up on TMS, third rabbit of the poopocalypse.
Facebook is crap.
Beep, 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 beep.
I don't like to sneeze.
Black belt and something.
I was at hamburger until you said sushi.
Bow door photo session.
There's a dog on the roof.
The third eagle of the month.
200-pound Putin lover.
Don't be a stoner wearing high heels in a horror movie.
The mirror. The original picture delete button.
Not in a horror movie with Amy.
Particulates in the nose hole.
Dysmorphin time with Wendy. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The only serum I know is from Blade. He needs it so he doesn't turn into full vampire.
Mm. Erin doesn't have a friend.
The Morning Stream.
I love that one. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's Thursday, July 14th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, man. Look, so, excuse me. I was telling the pre-show people that I came to the show with what sounds like a cold, but I didn't. I just sneezed a whole bunch, and now I'm in the aftermath of it.
Yeah, so, post-sneeze recovery period.
Yeah, I'm in my refractory sneeze period, right? No, wait, that sounds gross. Anyway, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about me. If you hear of my voice be a little weird, it's just because, you know, I sneezed a lot, and now I'm over it. Hey, Brian, it's a Thursday, so, hey, why don't we check in with Third Eagle of the Apocalypse today? Why don't we do it?
Oh, good. Yes, let's do that, shall we?
It's been a while, and Brian put himself through some pain to try to listen for some nuggets yesterday and sent me, I think, a good nugget that I'd like to share with the listeners. This is Third Eagle sort of explaining how speed dialing works.
Yeah, chatting with the person that he begins a lot of his episodes with this... Other Mary, full of grace and holy in this hand. And then the other guy goes, he calls like, it's not even like calling in on Skype or Zoom or anything like that.
Yeah.
Third Eagle literally has his phone. And he answers it. Hello. Yeah.
Default as hell. This guy.
Just yes, run exactly.
Run him with the defaults. Barely getting by.
Exactly.
Well, here's what he says in this conversation regarding the elusive idea of what do we call it? Speed dialing. Okay.
Speed dialing. Explaining speed dialing.
This is speed dialing with Third Eagle of the Apocalypse. Enjoy.
You're right on time. You're right on time today. So this is fine.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she has a landline, so she has speed dial. So that was.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay.
I just have a cell phone, so.
Right, so you have to. Well, you can still speed dial, right?
Well, I haven't figured it out, and I'm not going to waste my time trying to do it.
You get a headache. You mean you actually punch the numbers in every time?
No, I got you on my contacts.
Wouldn't you call that speed dial? I mean, all you do is push a button, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I just press on. Recent calls, and you're right there. So,
there. Yes. Right, right, exactly. Okay, now today is Wednesday, July 15th.
You know, the only thing that would make that better is if when the realization that I guess, yeah, I'm hitting a button, so I guess technically that is speed dial, when the other guy finally realized and go, oh, yeah. Mm. If all of a sudden there was like a little sound effect of,
like a little heaven one. Yeah, that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. They missed an opportunity. Also, there is a difference. I'd just like to make this clear. Yes, you're only pushing one button to call somebody on a traditional speed dial setup back in the 80s or whatever.
Yes.
And yes, you're only pushing a button on your phone now to quickly call somebody. The difference is speed dial back in the day still dialed the number. So it still had to go beep, 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 boop, 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 beep. Like it had to do its thing.
Exactly.
Whereas now you just, it's not
boop,
the...
Boop, 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 boop. Sorry, it's the military training in me. I just couldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone's out marching at 6 a.m. to my to my beeps. That was funny. I didn't even realize I did it.
But yeah, right. Like you could screw up speed dial if you accidentally pressed a button on your phone during its speed dial, because that would send another tone through the, another touch tone through the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, and I get it. You know, we're Third Eagle's what, like in his 80s or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't know. He's great. He probably knows more about tech than your average 80 plus year old, you know? He
probably does. Yeah.
Because he's getting streams done. He's got the basics going. He at least understands
YouTube Live and...
Yeah. It's just the rest of his life that's completely insane.
That's right. It's every other part of him that's completely out of touch with reality.
Yeah, it's all that stuff. Also, I just need to get this out so we can get some thought process going and get some emails in on this issue.
Okay, all right.
Let's watch him one of those Steven Seagal videos where he's doing his Aikido, you know. He's all fat in his black thing, and they're all chasing him down, and he's just like swatting him away like it's nothing. And I'm convinced.
Look at us watching and listening to hot garbage for our listeners.
Exactly,
benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. So they don't have to. But when he's doing all of that, it's fake, right? I mean, he's like 200 pounds overweight. The guy walks up to him. He just goes, pushes him to the side. The guy does like
right.
this.
It's edited. It's basically, and it's probably like quick edits, right? So it's like punch, quick edit, kick, quick edit, spin around.
Well, it depends. Like
so
the
he's
one
only
I...
having to do one thing at a time, and he can take a rest and breathe.
Because the one I saw, he was just out on a floor doing this for like a whole audience.
Oh, really? Like an uncut, wow.
Yeah, so it's just a guy would come after him and go, hurr. Guy'd come after him, push him to the side. Guy'd come after him, shove him to the thing.
Still fake, but
it sounds all like, but it looks like BS to me. But now I've got people online going, well, "That's what people who don't understand Aikido think." Let me tell you, it's not BS. It's exactly how it's supposed to go, and he is a genius. Like I'm getting it both ways. So
sure.
need confirmation. Can somebody out there who actually like has a black belt in something or understands martial arts in a modern way, can you tell me if Seagal is just faking it?
I think Tali kind of has exactly the right take. She says that it's fake, but it's a demonstration. It's proper etiquette to not resist. Granted, he's doing a shitty job. So, I mean, it's, you know, he's doing Aikido moves in a demonstration. Yeah. People are coming at him and you know, taking the hits and taking the punches and stuff. Because that's what you'd want to demonstrate how easy it is to take down a 200-pound Putin lover. You want to see what the actual moves look like. So
yeah, total of 200 pounds is being generous. This dude's pushing 300.
Yeah, that's true. My left leg is 200 pounds. Come on.
he's a big boy now. All right, well, whatever. Yeah, feedback required. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Everybody, okay. Facebook is crap. I just want to put that out there. I know we all kind of have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, but for some reason, the Tadpole group on Facebook, it won't let me do anything in it. I can't post or do anything. Now, that either means,
really? Have you been blocked and muted out of your own group, Scott?
Well, I can see it all. I can read it all. I can't post anything, and the error it gives me doesn't say you've been demoted or given, you don't have rights or anything. It says, here, hold on, I'll bring it up. Here we go. It says something isn't working. This may be a technical issue. We're working on it. Now, it's the exact same action I take on any Facebook page, including my own wall, including multiple other groups I belong to, including a couple of business pages. No issues. Not a problem. Different browsers, all the same result.
So that was going to be my first question. Is different browsers, computer?
Phone, computer, all of it. All that stuff. Weird. Same result. Tablet
this
morning.
Can Kim post something in there? Like,
I don't know. I could have her try, yeah. It's a good point. I don't know if she's really in here, though, or even part of it. She might be. But anyway, it's weird, man. I don't get it. I mean, it's Simply Squared, maybe they are working on it. Maybe they are. I doubt it's like a... it should be like a system-wide kind of problem, especially if it's, you know, multiple browsers, two different ISPs. Like, I've tested it in every possible way, and I can't get in. So that's why you're not seeing, like, go live notifications the last 2 days in Facebook, the Tadpole group, because it won't frickin' let me do it. So there's that.
It's a bummer. Yeah. I don't know. It's crap. It's Facebook. It's proven, once again, hot garbage.
Yeah. I just picture freaking Zuckerberg in some room going... Yeah, so I think, I don't know why he's suddenly George Lucas.
George Lucas.
Yeah.
You need to block that Johnson fellow from getting in here.
I can't think of how he sounds. How does he sound?
That's why. That's actually why. He's like, he's hearing your impersonations of him saying, okay, F. Johnson, get him out.
I can't think.
But give him some confusing error message. So okay, now with that Ibit fella too. Now better do that Ibit fella.
Give me a good Zuckerberg voice. I can't think. I
seriously cannot think of what he sounds like. Like all I can think of is Jesse Eisenberg's impersonation of him, or his.
Yeah, Jesse. That's really true.
Impersonation. It's his. You know.
He's like a lot of. Let's see. We're really big on VR. No, we're big on VR here, and
too much inflection.
Yeah, it's
we're really big on VR, and we hope to bring it to the masses very soon.
That's right. We are so happy that you have
kind of hard not to slip in a galaxy.
He's kind of an alien, so you know you do what you can. Yeah. All right. Well, there's that. Oh, that's the best. By the way, somebody asked me the other day, what is the best way to describe why the Orville's working for you? And I said, because it feels like Galaxy Quest. Without the fourth wallness of Galaxy Quest.
Right, yeah, it feels like the Galaxy Quest TV show that the movie Galaxy Quest was.
Yeah, like it's got that, it's got a funness, a sense of humor to it, you know, a brightness to it, but also kind of all these really cool Trekkie ideas like that. That's my best go-to, the best way I can explain why I think the Orville's good all these years later.
I think you're going to like Strange New Worlds too, once you start watching it.
Yeah,
we're
four
or five episodes in, and... we're digging it. We're really digging the format and the style and making old things look old and new at the same time, right?
It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. Like, how do you make it look like it's older than Next Generation and Discovery, but still keep it?
Daryl's all pissed. I saw a post from him. He thinks they screwed up with some episode where they redid a bunch of things that weren't in the original version of the storyline or something, like some Pike thing to do with the menagerie episode or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is. He's upset about it. And screw this show. I'm out.
Which is weird because it wasn't five tweets before that he was saying, I think Strange New Worlds might be the best Star Trek thing that they've done in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I have a feeling. I could be wrong. I'm just going to say this. I have a feeling Daryl's really hard to please. That's my thinking. You know?
I think you might be,
I think you might just actually be hard to make happy, is my thinking. Daryl, we hope you're doing fine. He's not listening, but whatever. All right. Hey, what if we did a little bit of this? It's time to read this with Amy. That's right. Amy, a.k.a. Red Fraggle, joins us each and every Thursday to talk about books, why we should read them, and perhaps... Once in a while, she does a reading herself, which I always enjoy.
Why should we read books, Amy?
Yes. What is with these books, Amy? Tell us more.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning?
Good. Doing all right.
Yeah. Groovy.
Yeah.
So the best description I've read of books is like they're it was something like you take a tree and grind it up and you make scribbles on it and you create an entire world with them.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like, you know, you can control how somebody thinks with scribbles on a guess.
Is Amy coming in choppy for you?
She's chopping for me a little bit.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, I was going to ask that. Okay.
It feels less.
Chuck is currently downloading the entire season of Emily in Paris, season two, right now. But
what it sounds to me like is less about lag and more about like your settings in Discord are tuned to cut you on the low and the high. Yeah. I could be wrong. But anyway, you sound better now. Except now. I don't hear it all now.
All right. Okay. Now, is that better?
I think so.
So far, yes.
Yeah, so far, you're good.
Okay.
So far,
yep.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Okay. Better now. Does my room noise sound okay? Does it sound like I'm in like...
I don't hear any room noise at all, so it sounds great.
Excellent. Yeah, you okay, sound good. Good. All right. I'm trying something new. I bought I have two little desk for what I want to do in this room. So I have ordered an extension to my desk and a scissor stand for my mic so I don't have to like hunch over my desk to do segment anymore. And so anyway, I was like, all right, but then that means I won't have my little cloth box that I put my mic in to eliminate room noise. So I was like, all right, I need to try this out this morning.
You sound great. You don't sound backgroundy at all. Sounds good.
No, I'm not hearing any echo or anything like that. So very good.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So I have a number of things for us to go through this morning. I'm very excited.
Oh, good.
So I had another weird dream that I wanted to share with you guys because it made me laugh.
Go for it.
And I promise this won't be like an every week thing because I don't have these dreams all the freaking time. But I figure, hey, while I have them, you know, I may as well share
it. Get the card, Scott.
Yeah. Okay. So this one, it starts out, I am in a combination of One Crazy Summer and Summer Rental, you know, both of those 80s movies where to win the day, you had to win a boat race, you know, yeah, like
that. Right. Or a ski race.
Yeah. Well, One Crazy, specifically boat race. It was the specifically the boat race one. Okay. So we're in that world, right? But then we get on the boat and it's like humongous. It's the size, it's not a cruise ship, but it's like the size of a ferry, you know, like a ferry boat that'll take you, you know, across to the Orkneys or something like that. Sure. You know, one of those where it's big enough you can drive cars onto it.
Yeah,
sure.
So then all of a sudden it's a horror movie.
Ooh.
And this part I blame Scott for. Lily Tomlin was there because
I know anything to do with Lily Tomlin is always my fault, I've learned.
Well, the reason I blame you were talking about Lily Tomlin on the Pac-Man episode of Retro the other day.
Yeah.
And you like you played a clip from her, so that's why she was in my brain.
Here, but, let me play her real quick. This is the clip I played, Brian, so you know where we're coming from here.
All right.
Hi, I'm Lily Tomlin. I'm a Pac-Man freak.
I have no idea why she said that.
Right? Yeah.
But anyway.
That was good. Yeah. I was going to be, please hold while I connect you or something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she and a bunch of the other people on the boat, they were running some kind of illegal, horrible, toxic enterprise, and it was inadvertently creating these monsters, and they were killing everybody on the boat. And by the end of the dream, it was just me and some other random dude. We were the only people left alive. And random dude tries to hit me up for sex. And I said, absolutely not!
Oh.
We're in a horror movie! That's how you die in a horror movie!
Yeah. Finally, somebody with some sense in that scenario.
Twitch Chuck replies, that's the reason?
That's the thing. It wasn't Chuck. I literally don't know who this dude was.
Right.
But yeah. And so anyway, I thought that was pretty funny that I was lucid enough to be like, no, I'm in a horror movie. I'm not having sex in a horror movie. That's how you die.
Yeah,
that's right. We don't split up. We don't have sex. We don't stand near the window.
So, no. You don't even get on a bed because they'll get you up through the bed like that. What was that?
Skewer Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
right?
Kevin Bacon got skewered.
Okay, Kevin Kebab.
Yeah, no, there was. I think the girl too, right? Both of them got.
Yeah, it was a little sex kebab. Yeah,
sex kebab. Mm-hmm. Oh, sex kebab.
Yeah,
it's a great.
You movie. Don't. You don't be black. You don't wear high heels.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that you should never do in a horror movie.
But you don't want to be the stoner kid who's alone. The one in the back of the car that just came along the fifth wheel. Don't ever be that kid.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He's dying.
He's the
quick.
Red shirt for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my funny little dream. So I have a book to share, and then I have a little quiz for you guys. Ooh. So which, and they're related. So which would you rather do first?
Oh, geez.
Let's start with the book and then with the quiz.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels right.
Okay.
Feels
all
like
right,
dessert.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'll do this little reading from the book here. It's a me read, not because the narrator for the audiobook version of this book is fantastic. He's a British dude, and it's just, he's got one of those very soothing British voices that, you know, it's lovely to listen to. But again, the clip they picked, I wasn't what I would have shared.
I think robots do that. They got robots picking clips over there. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it just didn't, I don't know, it just didn't capture the charm of this book, so I'm going to go with it. And no, sure. Captain Kipper, it's not Stephen Fry. It was, I'll look it up, but not Stephen Fry. All right, so, and please forgive me, I do not do a very good voice of this character. I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Here we go. What's this you're writing? Asked Pooh, climbing onto the writing table. The Tao of Pooh, I replied. The how of Pooh? I asked Pooh, smudging one of the words I had just written. The Tao of Pooh, I replied, poking his paw away with my pencil. Seems more like the ow of Pooh, said Pooh, rubbing his paw. Well, it's not, I replied huffily. What's it about? asked Pooh, leaning forward and smearing another word.
It's about how to stay happy and calm under all circumstances, I yelled.
Have you read it? That was after some of us were discussing the great masters of wisdom, and someone was saying how all of them came from the East, and I was saying that some of them didn't. But he was going on and on, just like this sentence, not paying any attention when I decided to read a quotation of wisdom from the West to prove that there was more to the world than one half. And I read,
"When you wake up in the morning, Pooh," said Piglet at last, "what's the first thing you say to yourself?"
"What's for breakfast?" said Pooh. "What do you say, Piglet?"
"I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today," said Piglet.
Pooh nodded thoughtfully. "It's the same thing," he said.
"What's that?" the unbeliever asked. "Wisdom from a Western Taoist," I said.
"It sounds like something from Winnie the Pooh," he said.
"It is," I said.
"That's not about Taoism," he said.
"Oh, yes, it is."
"No, it is not."
"What do you think it's about?" I said.
"Well, it's about this dumpy little bear that wanders around asking silly questions, making up songs, and going through all kinds of adventures without ever accumulating any amount of intellectual knowledge or losing his simple-minded sort of happiness. That's what it's about," he said.
"Same thing," I replied.
So, that is an excerpt from the book The Tao of Pooh.
Yep.
And so I thought, which if you've never read it, I really, really recommend, even if you think this might be a little out there, and it might be a little out there for some people because it does go into, you know, what Taoism is and that kind of thing. But it's a short read, and it's even if you end up completely disagreeing with everything he says, it's great for making you think and introspect, like, why do I disagree about this? And, you know, and like I say, it's a very short read, so it's not like it's a huge investment of time. So I think I really recommend everybody read this because it's charming and also very thought-provoking about the nature of who we are and how we approach the world and our place in it, which is kind of one of the things about Taoism. So like the back of the book reads, "While Eeyore frets and Piglet hesitates and Rabbit calculates and Owl pontificates, Pooh just is." And that's a clue to the secret wisdom of the Taoists. So it's literally like you read through and he compares each of the characters and how each of the characters is written to some aspect of Taoism. And ultimately, you know, the aspirational character here is Pooh, right? Because he is uncomplicated. He is happy. If he has a pot of honey, he's very happy. He's very comfortable with himself. And he doesn't worry about a lot of things. So I don't know. I can hear all the Tigger stands out there. Like, I hear you and I feel
You know, Tigger's fun, right? I mean, you know, he's the party guy. He's the extrovert. But really, for the long haul, your own happiness, you can't maintain a Tigger lifestyle indefinitely. You've kind of got to, you can't be Piglet. You certainly can't be Eeyore. Pooh's the right state of mind.
Pooh's state of mind.
It's interesting because if you read the original books, Eeyore is a much grumpier, more complainy character than he is in the cartoons. You know, so I very much relate to the Eeyore of the cartoons because actually he's very sort of zen in a way, right? Like material things, i.e. his tail, come in and out of his life, and he's not really fussed about it. He's like, oh, well, it'll come back eventually, you know. And then Eeyore's mantra is sort of, thanks for noticing me, which implies he's grateful. He is expressing gratitude, you know. And I don't know, as a depressed person, I'm kind of, I relate to Eeyore. But yeah. So here's my quiz.
Okay,
really short. I've got two of them open.
Are we going to find out which Pooh character we are?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I love this. Okay, cool. Good.
It's only eight questions, and I've got two of them open, so I could do both of you guys at the same time. So, All right, here we go. And that to phrasing. Yeah.
Jamie.
This is not a horror movie.
That's going to be the next dream. Yeah. Right.
All right. So first question, how do you typically spend a Friday night? Catching up on studying or work, watching a movie, hanging out with family, sleeping, reading, or going out with friends?
Hanging out with family, probably number one for me. It varies, but that's usually it.
Going out with friends on Friday nights is typical for me.
Okay. All right. Where can you be found at a party? On the dance floor? At home? With friends? Off in a corner? All over the place? Or near the food?
All over the place. That's an easy one. I go, but I don't stay any one place very long in a party.
Yeah, I think I do too. Like bouncing around for sure.
All right. Pick a Disney song. Reflection from Mulan, I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan, You're Welcome from Moana, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes from Cinderella, Friend Like Me from Aladdin, or A Spoonful of Sugar from Mary Poppins.
Oh, geez. Can you give me the first three again?
Reflection, or that's the one where like, why will my reflection show?
Okay.
I can't sing for it. And I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. That's okay. The Donny Osmond one.
Let's get down to business, that one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that one. And then You're Welcome from Moana.
Yeah, the rock singing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm a friend like me from Aladdin.
Okay.
I like Make a Man Out of You, so I'm picking that one, even though it sounds like a dicky one.
It's a good song. Yeah. No, it's a good song. It just says pick a song. It doesn't say like what song do you feel like you relate to or anything. It just says pick a song.
Okay.
One. Now, this one's kind of weird. So it's just pictures. So I'm gonna have to describe it. It says pick a food. So there's a pepperoni pizza. Mm. There's a big juicy hamburger. Mm. There's like what looks like a black bean tortilla wrap, and then like a cold cut sandwich with lots of stuff on it, sushi, and then I think the one in the bottom is like Thai noodles.
I mean, all of
sushi for me.
That sounds great, but I would eat that whole buffet.
I was at hamburger until you said sushi.
Yeah, probably pizza.
Okay.
I always go, it's got to be a good pizza, but I love pizza.
Okay. This is, I promise, this is only eight questions, so it's not
That's
super
fine.
Long.
Hey, no, you're doing great.
You're good.
Okay. So pick a TV show. Modern Family, The New Girl, or rather New Girl, sorry, Grey's Anatomy, The Good Place, Riverdale, or Top Chef?
Good Place for me.
I think some of these I haven't seen yet. Give me the first couple again.
It was Modern Family, New Girl, Grey's Anatomy, The Good Place.
New Girl for me.
New Girl.
Oh, hang on.
Question 7. How many things can you remember at one time? Yeah.
Not many. Right? My brain goes too farty when I get to about third or fourth and I forget what the first one was.
For me, it's I just remember the last two and say, okay, oh, okay, Modern Family, New Girl, oh, Modern Family, and then Modern Family, da-da-da, and then...
Oh, that's a good trick.
Oh, yeah, you kind of bracket it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then I only have to remember one.
Oh, that's clever. All right. What's the first thing you do when you get home? Call your friends, take a nap, eat a snack, play video games, start your homework or work, or exercise. Obviously, this was written for kids.
Yeah, yeah. Snack for sure.
Yeah, I get home. Snack for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Snack. First thing you do is eat something. Yeah. Yep. Chug something out of the fridge. Get the purple stuff. Doesn't matter.
Sunny D.
Yeah. Whatever you got.
All right. What do you value most? Intellect, happiness, positivity, compassion, loyalty, or passion?
Oh.
Between happiness and compassion for me, I will pick happiness.
Okay. I mean, passion's a broad definition, but I think probably that.
Okay.
I have a lot of passion for things. So, yeah.
Alrighty. Finally, so the last question, how do you make decisions? I ask for advice. I rely on facts and logic. I go with my gut. I use my best judgment. I don't quite know how those two are different, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. I follow what everyone else is doing, or I just wing it.
A little bit of all of those.
Man, I was going to say just about everything, but follow what everyone else is doing, right? Like, yeah. So, you know, follow facts, but also trust your gut, but also use your best judgment.
But also if I'm in the mall and people are screaming and running that direction, I'm going to go that way, you know?
Right.
Even though I don't know why, I'm just going to follow the crowd. Yeah. So
unless
that's
we're
a
running
hard
one. To Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, it's not a shooting or anything else. It's Debbie Gibson out there singing.
Running to Debbie Gibson.
Ah! Only in my dreams. Ah!
I guess above all else, like if my gut was saying one thing, but facts and logic were saying another, I would go with the facts and logic. So I'm going to say facts and logic.
Yeah, there you go. I think I agree with that. I have things where it's just purely instinct for me. But if someone said, oh, that may seem like the right instinct, but here's the facts, I'd go, oh, well, I probably shouldn't do that then. Like, so I definitely do what Brian just described. So right. I guess we lean toward facts and stuff.
Yeah. All right. So results are in.
Ooh, that was
Scott,
fast.
You are Christopher Robin.
Oh,
so all right. Like Christopher, you're cheerful, intelligent, and determined. You're a natural leader, and others often look up to you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've all made it here today.
Yeah. Here it comes.
Brian, you are Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, look at that. I don't need to read your damn book. Yep. I'm living it.
That's right. You got your hand in a big jar of honey. You're good.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Frequently stuck in a hole. I love it. Yeah, that's me.
So it says, just like Pooh, you're kind, loyal, and creative. You have a caring soul, and you're always there for your loved ones.
Aww. That's adorable. I mean, these are all probably positive, right? Even if you're Eeyore, what does it say? What would it say?
I honestly, I don't know. So I took this quiz before the show, and I came up with Piglet. And it was like, you know, it was all about, you know, you're kind to people and you know, things like that. I don't remember exactly what it said. I could probably take it again, but yeah. So I got Piglet when it came up, but I will say that I do most identify with Eeyore.
Oh yeah. Well, what this sounds like, I could be wrong, unless this is like peer reviewed or whatever. It sounds like it's one of those things where it kind of doesn't matter where you land. You're a good character from the Winnie the Pooh universe, right?
I don't think I'd want to be Rabbit. Rabbit's a paranoid F, man. Yeah.
Rabbit is a
Rabbit F-up. Looks at Facebook as makes his decisions based on.
That's true. Don't go with Rabbit if you can avoid him.
Yeah, I mean, well, and Rabbit frets about everything, and is kind of a jerk, right? Like, there's a chapter where Rabbit makes Tigger promise not to bounce anymore. Like, Rabbit's kind of a. It's kind of a
Rabbit,
D,
maybe,
you know?
A flat earther hoax denier, a vaccine hoaxer.
Right?
COVID hoaxer.
Sweet. We'll stay away from
the
Rabbit.
Third eagle is Rabbit. That's what we want. Okay,
right, exactly.
That sounds as about right.
Know, as we are aware. Stuck in his hovel.
All right. Well, there you have it. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah.
I just thought that would be a fun little way. And again, this is it can get a little heavy because, you know, it's about Taoism. So it's not like, you know, it's not super light, but it is the book itself is super light. It's only like 150 pages. And, you know, so it's a quick read, and it's I don't know. I find it interesting to approach, like, how do I see myself versus how I think, you know, the rest of the world sees me and what my place is in the world. And, you know, Wendy talks about this kind of thing all the time, like approaching your thoughts and your emotions with curiosity. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. So like if you have a reaction to something, maybe step back and say, oh, why did I have that reaction to that? Yeah. And dig deeper. And it's always just good data. And then that data turns into information.
Self-awareness is hard, but once you figure out how to do it, it's like you can almost stand next to yourself when you do things and go, now, why did I do that? And then, you know, evaluate it and change it the next time. And it's really, it's really great stuff, that particular stuff that she talks about. It's just so hard to remember it in the moment, you know?
It is. It's really interesting. I had a thing like that once. I remember I was washing dishes and my husband was in a really bad mood because I had mentioned something to him, and that just kind of set him off and put him in a bad mood. And so then I was kicking myself for even bringing the thing up, even though I was totally right to bring it up. And he said later, he was like, yeah, you didn't do anything wrong. You were totally right to bring that up. But I was all up in my head and my little mean voice was talking to me saying, if you'd have just kept your mouth shut, everybody in the house would still be happy. Everybody would still be in a good mood. This is your fault. And I, instead of like feeling bad and, you know, just accepting that kick from myself, I stepped back and I was like, oh, hi, Mom, and your need to own everybody else's emotions. What are you doing here?
Yep. I think we
your
all
services are no longer required. Thank you.
We've all got a dark passenger hanging out in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Right.
I feel you.
So I definitely recommend this. It's a great quick read, and it's fun, and it's a fun look at a philosophy that is a little bit heady and intellectual, but again, it doesn't take itself too seriously, as you heard from the foreword, right? Like, it does a lot of breaking the fourth wall, and you know, the author talks to Pooh throughout the book, and so
this will not surprise you, but Benjamin Hoff, famous for in 2006 renouncing the entire publishing industry because it no longer fit with what he thought publishing should be, which sounds just about right for a guy who's exploring these things in his books. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, wait a minute, this money enterprise doesn't exactly match up with my creative idea. So F you guys, I'm out. And so he quit. That was it.
Well, I mean, that's basically the whole foreword of the book, right? Like, first he argues with Pooh, and then he argues with the other, you know, Taoists that he's talking to. And so that kind of fits. I'm looking up now who actually reads the narration. Oh, Simon Vance is the name of the narrator. And like I say, he's got a lovely, lovely voice. And, you know, he's got that very, you know, sort of, he does have a very Stephen Fry-ish cadence and tone to him. So if you want to pick it up on Audible, it's a great thing to kind of, it would be a great listen, I'm sure, because that would be a good thing to sort of have on in the background while you're doing some other work and stuff. So,
looking at pictures of Benjamin Hoff, the only reason you'd know that he is older is because he has gray hair and that's it. Otherwise, he looks like someone jammed a very young man into an old guy.
Right? Like, he looks like Anderson Cooper had a bad day.
Yeah.
Like,
Anderson Cooper let his beard grow for a few days before he had to go back to CNN or whatever. You're right.
Yeah.
He's a very clean, thin, slim looking, healthy looking dude. We could all look like that, I suppose, if we worked at it.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you mostly. all right. Well, that's awesome.
I'd rather just be poo and eat my honey.
That's right. Just don't be your honey and eat your poo. That's going to do it. Hey, whoa. So it's always good to have you here, of course. Every week she'll be here. And if you're looking for her online, Red Fraggle 3 everywhere, Twitter, all that stuff, that's right?
True. Yes. That's
fantastic.
Also, I have a little thing to plug this week.
Ooh, plug it.
So I did a guest appearance on Jim Infantino's podcast, which is called Funny Not Funny. And we did sort of a deep dive into let's see, puppets and a lot of things. It was it's a great little podcast where he and his co-host Lionel and a guest, they just sort of have a rambling conversation, and then, you know, and then it ends after an hour. So it's a great little show, and I recommend you know, checking it out. So yeah, we did. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, I talked about narcolepsy. And yeah, there I am. Oh, he told me that the camera piece was just for them in the studio. Oh, and I didn't need to worry about I what see. I looked like.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
he,
Jim. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
All right.
Now well, you know who's, go, what's up. Sure. Looks like fun though. I'll check it out. I've heard of him before. He writes science fiction or something. I guess he does other stuff too, music. And
yes, I recommended a series of his books early on. There were the Wakeful Wanderer's Guide.
Right.
It was Jim's, and then also he wrote the Ballad of Barry Allen, which is about the Flash because his uncle Carmine used to draw the Flash.
That's right. So yep. I knew it was familiar even in our conversation.
That's probably why the name Infantino sounds familiar.
Yeah, there's also a Carmine Infantino, an artist that did a ton of stuff for Marvel Comics in the 70s and 80s, like the Star Wars, all the Star Wars
that comics. Might be why that name's so familiar to me.
That's his Uncle Carmine. Yeah.
Uncle
that's
Carmine. Okay.
So that's him. Guy. Oh, yeah. All right. Very there cool. We go. Well, I'm glad you were able to do that. Go check that out, everybody.
Red on Airline.
Yes. Amy, it's always good to talk to you. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. And, you know, tell Chuck to just keep it down a notch. Tell Chuck to just chill out. Just kidding. He's great. We love Chuck by now.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We let her go. That's what happened there. Hey, we got time for how about one news story? How about that?
One news story.
Okay. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. We're going to be celebrating Fast Times with Imagine Dragons and Joan Osborne. What does that mean? Well, Dan Reynolds, not Dan Stevens, that would be an interesting frontman. Sure. Dan Reynolds, who's the lead singer for Imagine Dragons, and Joan Osborne, both celebrating birthdays, but we're also celebrating the 40th anniversary of the soundtrack to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which... instead of playing covers of songs from the soundtrack, I'm going to play covers of 5 songs that were prominently featured in the film, but were not included on the soundtrack. Hmm. And you'd be surprised by a couple of these. Like when you think of the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High, what songs do you think about, Scott?
Mm. Oh, it's been so long.
Do you think about the Cars song Moving in Stereo?
No.
Phoebe Cates coming out of the swimming pool to that that Cars song.
I remember the part where she came out of the swimming pool and took her top off. I do remember that. And I remember
not included on the soundtrack.
It's not in there. Why?
No, it's not in there. Kashmir as Spicoli and his friend are driving in the car, and who is it? It's
not Kashmir.
It's like talking about side 4 of Led Zeppelin 2 is the best makeout music.
Right.
Kashmir, not included on the soundtrack.
That's too bad.
American Girl by Tom Petty. You watch Stacy walk down the hall to Tom Petty's American Girl, not included on the soundtrack.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Is that a licensing thing? You want to pay for it?
I'm sure it was. I'll bet that it was.
Mm. Seems like a dumb, bad idea, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, check that out. Anyway, 1 p.m. today,
so covers of songs that were not featured on the soundtrack today on Coverville.
I love that. That's a great idea. All right, check this out. About to freak y'all out. Bizarre sea creature with a needle-like teeth washed up on shores in the U.S. Look at this thing. They can't figure out what it is. So I'm looking at this photo. I'm going to scroll down some. There's also an underwater version of this. I can't find it.
Yeah, that looks like... that is like such a prehistoric-looking creature. Like... the illustrations you get of what prehistoric fish look like, they look like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got that weird underbite. They got usually got a little dangling light thing.
A bazillion in the front. Teeth, what's her face from Fargo, married to Jesse Plemons.
I can't think of her name. Kirsten Dunst. There you go. Old Snaggletooth, we call her. They got married finally. They've been together years, but.
Oh, they did finally get married? Wow.
Yeah, tied the knot last week. But private little ceremony. It makes sense for them.
Nice. Nice.
I love them. They're great. Anyway, these pictures were put on on Reddit by somebody named Christine Tillotson. Tillotson, I think is how you say it.
Tillotson.
There's a T. Whoops. This shows this animal with needle-like teeth lying dead on a stack of rocks. Parts of its body are peeling away, appears to be decomposing. In the caption, she asked for help in identifying the creature. Since being shared, social media posts have gone viral. Several users commented on the picture, speculating at what it could be. One new user notes, I think that's called,
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one speculated it might be a wolf eel, a species that lives across the North Pacific. However, third user pointed out that the teeth aren't big enough for a wolf eel, and ling cod are known for replacing teeth daily, which is why you can see rows of new teeth with being shrunken. New teeth with being shrunken. Mm. I don't know what that means.
Why you can see the... Yeah, I don't know.
That's a bad sentence.
Rows of new teeth with being shrunken.
Is that weird?
Scientist right there answered.
Yeah,
right
real there. Smart guy.
Reddit scientist.
I think that's just some user idiot.
Yeah.
Let's see. According to Newsweek, so basically what's happening at this stage of this is nobody's sure what it is, including marine biologists. They're like, we need to see it. Wow. We need to get a hold of it.
That's interesting. If you're stumping marine biologists, that's...
Yeah. I love weird scary. Shit in the ocean. Yeah, I don't know why.
Too. Yeah.
Something about that. Anyway, don't put that
still,
in your...
still areas of the ocean we haven't explored with,
Yeah, we can't get down there. It's like too much pressure. Can't
get down there, like with the abyss.
Yeah. Would you... Okay. If you could...
Yeah.
And someone said, hey, we've got like an abyss-style boat thing. You're going to have to put a helmet full of goo on and breathe that in, but that's you'll get used to it right away.
Your body did it for 9 months, Scott. You can do it. You're used to it.
That's right. I'm totally used to it. Just put this helmet on and go for it. Would you do that? I don't know why, but deep sea stuff scares the poopy out of me.
It scares the crap out of me too, because it's not, for whatever reason, like space, you're stuck out there. Something goes wrong. It's like, well, I'm out in space. There's no way, you know, I'm far, far, far away from home. This sucks, but there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, deep sea stuff, something goes wrong. It's like, oh, my home's just right up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't get to it.
Yeah. And you just know that any second, if something caves in, you're going to have the worst, you know, the crushing weight of the entire ocean will mush you.
Yeah. You're
done.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure, the all that stuff, I don't know.
Too dark, too. You can't see anything. That said,
yeah, exactly. So many little things that hinge on your survival down there. Too many little things, like having light, having oxygen, having no leaks in your tank, suit. I mean, it's all bad.
I don't like it. I'm sure there's some people are super into it, and that's great. Good for them.
Good for them. Good for you.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to hang out with Wendy. She's got some stuff to say about an email we got, and that'll be coming up right after this break with this song that you have brought to the show, Brian.
Sure. So comparisons to Courtney Barnett. Get them on deck here, because I think you're gonna find quite a few. Alex the Astronaut is set to release her second album, which is called How to Grow a Sunflower Underwater. Speaking of which, this album comes out a week from a week from yesterday. And so far, it's getting rave reviews from like New York Times, NPR, BBC Radio 1. It's great. She is an Australian LGBTQ+ singer, storyteller, and out 100 artist. And she also is on the spectrum. She talks about her autism spectrum disease diagnosis, and the new album is an intimate exploration of post-traumatic growth. This first song, which is excellent, is called Haircut. From How to Grow a Sunflower Underwater, here's Alex the Astronaut.
Stand up, look around, smile like you've already made it. Dive in, don't think, blinking off the salt on our faces. I've looked up at falling autumn leaves. I've watched 17 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. I've got cold hands, cold feet, but I don't regret anything. Grew up from the sea, where party lights flicker. Yeah.
books I should have already read. They keep stacking up, I should just stop buying them. And we drove to the mountains for 2 days. I tried to roll down the window, but Gina's car's breaking. We walked and we sold for the old trees and the old wind. We never made it to the glow worms cave. Teachers with their backpacks trying to find their way. And late one night I told you what I was trying to find the right way to say. Since I cut my hair, I've been feeling so much better. It was more than that. And the mirror looks back and I feel like who I am supposed to be. You know that feeling like the lights are up and you're the best thing they've seen ever. It's more than thread. And is there a place for me? What street have you seen a place for me? I'm better, but I don't always feel safe. I'm trying really hard to be brave. So I'll stand up, look around, smile like I know how to take it. Dive in, don't think this is our stage and we made it.
Open them. I've seen them in my magazines.
Would you like to learn how to use them?
I guess I'd better.
All right.
That's one of the best wieners I've ever seen.
This is the Morning Stream, a rat turd.
We're back, everybody. Hey, Brian, if I was to write down the details of that song and learn later of who it is, how
would
I do that?
Well, you should have done it earlier. You should have written them down when I said it the first time. But okay, this time I'll tell you again.
Okay.
Alex the Astronaut is the artist. Her second album, How to Grow a Sunflower Underwater, comes out in a week. That's the first single, Haircut.
Very nice. Not a devil's haircut. Don't get confused.
No, everybody. Not a devil's haircut.
No. Nobody wants that. All right, we're going to add Wendy to the call. My sister, blood sister, Wendy. Her and I.
Blood sister. The new horror film coming from A.B. Robinson.
Blood sister. All right, where's her intro? Everyone knows it's Wendy. Hey, look who it is! It's my sister Wendy. We were just talking about how we're blood related, you and I.
We are. We're blood.
Yeah. We don't have the, like, okay. Anybody who's ever had any kids probably already knows this. If you have more than one. Is that they come so different from each other. Like, there's this idea that, well, if these two bodies came together and made this little infant, it must be just like the same base model. And then as you raise them, that's when you decide what paint they're going to be and what interior they have and how nice is their stereo, to continue the car analogy, right? But not really. They come prepackaged. Wow. They're totally different. And Wendy and I couldn't have been more different. She was the studious one, the smart one, the whatever. And I
was the owl to your Tigger.
Yeah. Yes. I was this, you know, nerd with all the creativity in the world, but no desire to get homework done. Like, I don't know how we came out so different is what I'm saying. Isn't that weird?
I mean, it's, yeah.
It's good, it's though.
The truth.
No, it's good. It's diversity.
I also think you, I mean, we always got along, and I think sometimes that really helps, just not being too similar.
Yeah, you know? I do too. Everyone always
like,
asks,
oh, you're weird and funny.
People are always like, who are you closest to? And I'm like, oh, it's easily Wendy and I. And they always ask why, because they see those differences too. And I'm like, I think maybe it is those differences. Like,
yeah, we're just really different. I mean, when were you and I ever competing for compliments about our grades?
Never. Never. And when were we ever competing for compliments on art or competing for anything where we were different? It was like, that was always the, you know, and I don't know, we had a weird situation because we had all these Koreans around and that just made it more, I don't know. We had a very diverse upbringing. Weirdly.
Diversified. Yeah, for sure. Like nobody, none of us did the same thing.
No,
I mean,
no.
Our oldest brother played football.
Yep.
And then my kid does. That's a generation away. There's no one else.
Yeah, that's almost
two
gens.
There's no following in any footsteps at all. It's really weird.
Nope. Who's playing, by the way?
Elliot.
Elliot's playing?
I'm literally currently looking at, like, he grew 400 feet in the last year, and I have to buy everything again, and I'm so unhappy. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
He's going to be a big, buff kid with a heart of gold.
He is. Yeah, I don't know how he has any ability to hit another person. Like, it's just the opposite of him. I honestly think it's kind of his like shadow or the yang or something, where he's like so careful and nice, and it's like the only way he can have any other feelings, I guess.
You guys have to meet this kid. Like, Elliot is the epitome of like, is everyone else okay? Is everyone okay?
Totally.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And high five and other kids. I was like, you played so well.
Yeah. He's such a good kid.
And 13-year-olds are like, what is wrong with you? Why are you my dad?
Yeah.
Go away.
It's hard. He is like your dad. That's
really
that's good.
What's funny is one of his buddies was like, all right, I'll take you guys to a movie. We go to pick him up, and he comes out. I swear the kid's wearing Dockers. Mm. Like, I swear he had on a polo. Like, he is a dad.
He dresses like a dad.
Friends just dads? He's like, kind
of. That's great. A bunch of friends being dads. That's awesome.
Dads united. So not all 13-year-olds are cesspools, people. Sometimes they're dads.
Yeah, sometimes they're dads. make your pick. All right, let's get to our email this week. Wendy, of course, a practicing therapist, works with patients and clients all the time and comes on Thursdays slumming it with us to answer your questions. Mm. Your valid questions, I should say, but, you know, we're still slumming it.
Real questions from real people.
That's right. Like this one. We're not going to use anyone's name. We'll just start it as it goes. It says, I have a subject to talk about for Therapy Thursday, body dysmorphia during and after weight loss. Here's some background info. I've had weight loss surgery, which has helped me lose over 140 pounds. I'm now in line to have skin removal surgery in July, but now I'm struggling with how I look. I'm having a boudoir. I haven't read that word in a while.
Holding
clearly
bean pasta.
Yeah. Excuse me, a boudoir photo session done before my body goes through more changes and to document my changes. But what steps should I take to work on my mental image of myself before, during, and after the excess skin removal, because the person I see in my head isn't reality? Signed, anonymous. So, I have to imagine, this is just I'm not talking about this person in particular, but I have to imagine, let's say you go a huge portion of your life, either very overweight or very underweight, either way. And then you have a massive change like this. Your image of yourself is pretty burned in for a long period of time, whatever that image may be. So almost nothing you see in the mirror is going to match what you have in your head, I would think. Mm-hmm. So with that assumption, and whether I'm right or I'm wrong, let's move into what you would do here in this case.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with this premise. I mean, maybe it's because I have a buy crap for growing children. It's interesting to watch like a human change from a child to an adult body. And there's a lot of differences and growth, and where you are in space changes. So I'm literally getting stepped on like a lot because their feet are bigger, or they don't realize They can't just kind of hug you the way they did without knocking you over. Like, it's just kind of an adjustment, right? And so that is semi-gradual. It is kind of fast and terrible for most people. But, it, you know, like that, we've all done it once in that form. And then we all have done various changing through our lives. So for those who've been pregnant and not, like, that is an absolute trip to see yourself suddenly, like, it's like Alien. I mean, that is where that movie comes from. Some pregnant lady went, do you know what this is like? And that's what that show is. So like that kind of thing, like it's very common in our lives to have various stages and changing. Now, with very quick weight loss and the type of thing we're dealing with now, there it's just like ramped up to a 10 versus maybe a little more gradual for other folks. But I want to start with this premise that everybody has a bit of body dysmorphia, and I will show you how.
Okay.
So I want you to think about seeing yourself in the mirror and then seeing a picture of yourself. Okay. You look different, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
Which do you guys prefer? Do you like your mirror self or your picture self?
No, the picture.
Oh, I prefer the mirror self.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I prefer the picture too, because usually a picture is the one that reminds me, like I'll look at myself in the mirror and go, you disgusting monster, right?
Wow.
And then someone will have taken a snapped a photo of me in Vegas or, you know, just something I hadn't even seen before. And I'll look at it and go, oh, I'm looking pretty good. Look all right right there. That's not bad. So right. I don't know what
unless
the difference
is. Unless they take a picture from chin up, you know, like from below you.
Yeah. No, like even if they do, if it's a full body shot, even better, because I have an idea that I just look like a schlubby turd right now, but often I'll see a photo and go, you know what? I look fine, you know? Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, those are my preferred balances to see it in a photo rather than I'm not talking about like a chin, a camera down here selfie where I'm looking like double chin McGee, but like, you know, just a snapshot of me hanging out or screwing around with the kids or whatever.
I can adjust myself, like suck in my gut or do whatever and be like, all right, there we go. I'm looking good. Whereas the photo, that thing is locked. There is no changing it. That is what I looked like at that moment from that angle.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a permanent record. And
it's a permanent record. Exactly. Yeah. As soon as I leave, guess what? That mirror is empty.
Yeah.
Right. So right there is the evidence. I mean, that everyone can relate to a little bit, right? Like you have a preference between one of those two self-reflected views of yourself, right? And what that means is, I mean, okay, now imagine back in the day when there was just those lead mirrors that were really heavy and splotchy. I mean, what did you think you looked like? We just didn't have that constant reminder and that feedback loop, right? So this really is new since, you know, we could look at ourselves in particular ways, you know, as a species. And so, you know, parts of our brains have developed around this experience of seeing ourselves, which is hilarious on one hand, because we now know exactly what we look like in multiple ways at any point, and we can zoom in if we want.
Yeah.
But we're all still really crappy at seeing actually how we are in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Because that part of our brain is not, you know, that feedback loop isn't as strong, right? People aren't sitting down and going, okay, let me tell you how you're coming across all day. Mm-hmm. Or let me hold up a mirror to you psycho-emotionally, see how you handle that. Most of us do not do well at all, right?
Sure.
But this is this piece of us that we're not even thinking about, right? Like maybe I'm taking this more deep than people ever need to. But this idea that we are catching glimpses of ourselves and sometimes staring very hard at ourselves and having all sorts of like dialogue in our head, like to quote you, I'm a what monster when you look in the mirror? What did you say?
I forgot what I said. I'm a
clearly something, right?
Double chin McGee.
You have a few ways to demean yourself when you are thinking about how you look, right?
Yeah.
And this is very common. And that's because we're staring at it, right? That before you would just be like, well, I don't know what it looks like, I guess. I don't know. I like to pretend it's 1500s and none of us have seen ourselves. But anyway, okay. So we all have a little bit of this. Now add, going to the email, now add this, the feeling like yourself piece to this, right? Okay. So Scott, I assume your sort of like early years is how you still think you should look or feel, maybe, even if we take away the look part and just get to the feel in your own body as you age, as you gain or lose weight, like, it messes with a bit of what it's supposed to feel like in my own body.
Yeah, for full disclosure, that was like junior high or prior, just prior to that. Like, let's say prior to puberty, everything's great. You know, you're 10, you're 11, you don't care. You just don't care. It's like no big deal. Mm-hmm. But ever since then, because I can go back to just about any era and say, oh, I hated how I looked when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Hated how I looked when I was in my 20s. Hated how I looked in my 30s. Like, I can always say that. But then when I go look at pictures from those times, I look fine. Mm-hmm. I'd look great. I'd take it back if I could.
Right.
And that's the whole point of the whole dysmorphia thing has this element of negativity. No one ever says, I see myself as a giant Adonis man. Who does that?
Somebody does out there. Well, somebody. The Rock looks in the mirror and says, he probably mirrors, does. Photographs, I'll take all of it.
Yeah, probably.
Wink.
Wink.
Yeah. I mean, he may be. I'm sure there are plenty of folks who have that experience, but I would say the vast majority of us do not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even, and some of it is that sort of, first of all, the key here is, what is your brain doing? Mm-hmm. It's not your body. Because how come every time, every stage, you don't like? And then retroactively, you like it. Like, they're clearly the common denominator in why this isn't making sense is what your brain is saying, mm-hmm. right? What is it telling you? And we could call it your inner critic. We could call it someone else's voice sometimes, right? But just like, what is actually happening? And why can get interesting. So that's what I would recommend this person think about. So clearly they're recognizing for themselves, taking pictures of the changes feels important to them.
Yeah.
Right? I am very different. I would not do that. That is not appealing to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I also don't know. Maybe it would be. It might be, right? I mean, just the boudoir level is like... You'd have to pay me $20 million to take pictures of myself.
Kudos to the person who wrote in for, doing boudoir photos and a very vulnerable point in their transformation.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. And maybe there's, instead of just like a photo shoot, there needs to be this other degree of this to get, to honor it or something, right? So you're right. Kudos. Absolutely. So everyone's going to be different with this, but if it sounds like they figured out a thing that's going to feel good, but they are also struggling with, wanting to make sure they are doing various things that make this transition, I would assume, more permanent, right? With all of this effort and work and surgeries, like none of this is pain-free, right? This is all very, very difficult. And so some of it, and I'm not comparing it to cancer. Don't get me wrong, everyone. But just this idea of like any documentation of, writing in a journal about difficult things you're going through, taking photos of yourself as you are, variety of things. I mean, this is a very human response to capture the depth of this for this person. So that's a big piece of this. And we don't have the answers to these questions I'm about to ask, which is, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. What is it you're trying to feel? Right. Like not recognizing yourself is just one measurement of not recognizing yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. Is there more? And that would be the thing I'd get curious about. So the world responds differently to people in different sized bodies. It just does. Mm-hmm. People are biased and people act certain ways. That is a known fact. So as the world responds to you differently, that's going to affect some of your psychology. And it happens in every direction, right? Mm-hmm. It happens with aging. It happens with being too young. We're having different experiences. And so to get really curious about, not only do I not sort of see myself looking the way I'm supposed to feel, like, is there more to that psychology for you? Like, how are you changing internally? What is, because we do put a lot of emphasis on the outside,
Right.
And that's because we see it, right?
Yeah, because that's the one sense that humans are, we think we're really good at is seeing it. And we think we're good at judging what we see. And we're actually terrible
because
at judging.
Because we're very dominant in seeing. Yeah. Seeing is one of our, most prized perceptions. I think the other thing, too, is it the Portrait of Dorian Gray? Am I thinking of the right story?
Oh,
the more
the painting ages, but the,
yeah,
he doesn't. Yeah,
he doesn't. But it shows the true him. You know, right. Kind of that idea of like, I think that overemphasis on outward appearance and looks can have it's to our internal world's detriment a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like to our internal improvement. And so, yeah, I would just challenge this person to think. I mean, obviously, kudos and good luck and, you know, document what you need to and do what feels good as you adjust, but also maybe spend a little time on maybe what you need to grieve. I think we talk about this a lot with grief. It's often seems to be associated with negative things or bad things happening or loss. And the way you would think, oh, this person should be sad about this. But sometimes this loss is positive. Mm-hmm. Like you had a positive thing happen and a change. And so to be kind to yourself about that, you may not feel all the things you thought you'd feel once you were thin and all the skin was removed, right? Mm-hmm. Because we do emphasize in our culture in particular that happiness, health, everything is based on size and looks, mm-hmm. right? And we can all say, yeah, no, that's not what, well, that's what a lot of us are doing, right? Let's just be honest about it. Because that's a human, that is our way to tell. If it was smell, like, you smell healthy. You know, we'd spend a lot more time on making sure we smelled good.
It's a dog's do. They kind of can tell, yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's a lot easier to tell when somebody smells unhealthy than when they smell healthy.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, good point.
It's not our first pick. We don't go around sniffing people. No, but no. If we did, you know, we would spend more time making sure we smelled good. Or if the touch of our skin needed to be, you know, like, but are we really emphasize visual? And so all of us have our own garbage when it comes to this, mm-hmm. right? And a great way to sort of check your own garbage might be, you know, what are the thoughts that you have as you interact with the world based on what other people look like or their size or some stage that they are in life, right? And mm-hmm. if you're really critical of others, mm-hmm. you're usually.
Oh, no.
Do we lose you?
Sunspot.
Uh-oh. I bet she got a call. You know how that happens?
Oh, yes. Right.
It's the worst. I always have to put on the full-on turn everything off but this thing.
Yeah.
Or else I get that too all the time.
Yeah.
We'll wait for her here.
Well, you heard my Ring doorbell let me know that FedEx has a package, which I had on because I was like, oh, they're going to need me to sign for it. They left it without me signing for it. So that's good.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. What were you expecting? Well, something cool?
It's a laptop for my redeployment gig. So I probably...
Getting my Steam Deck tomorrow. I'm so excited. Oh.
Getting your what tomorrow?
My Steam Deck.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, how are we going to do a couch party with you, you know, playing Steam Deck while you're trying to watch Edge of Tomorrow?
Well, I don't think it gets here till like nighttime or something. So I got to wait for it. Yeah. I'm going to ring her again. Let's see if we can get this worked out. I don't know.
I'm going to grab that box off the porch. Just
yeah, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to pause things here. Oh, we got an electric lawnmower.
Oh,
yeah.
It just does it for you?
Yeah, no, you have to go out and do it. It's still like a push mower, like a normal standard mower, but it's all electric, so it's all charged. You got batteries on this thing. It's like having a little Tesla mower, kind of, without Elon Musk having anything to do with it. It's pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like we're, you know, I don't feel like we're complete eco, you know, the eco lords of the street or anything. But, you know, we're out there with electricity getting it done. It's not bad.
Good job.
All right. So when
you've
back.
Seen the,
sorry, go ahead.
You've seen the ones that do it themselves. That's the life.
Oh, yeah. That's what I really, ultimately, that's what I want. But they'll sound expensive. Anyway, Wendy's back. Sorry, you were saying, I don't remember where you left off. Do you?
No. Do you?
I don't remember at all. Then I brought up a lawnmower, which made everybody forget everything again.
So much happened between then and now.
Yeah. Like it's Brian got a package. I talked about lawnmowers.
Very
I don't
exciting.
Know. Body dysmorphia. Okay,
I'll just get back to my advice. How about that? All right. So I'd ask a couple questions. Who are you talking to about this? Right? Like, do you have, and whether it's even a person or a designated time for you to think about that, I think can be powerful. This can be applied to lots of people in lots of situations. When you're going through something, do you have dedicated space and time to deal with it?
Right.
And I would answer for most of it, it's probably no, right?
Yeah.
We shove it down, it leaks out, you know, we're just sort of managing that as opposed to, you know, giving some of this attention. So I would ask that question, you know, what do you got in place in terms of support? Somebody who's been there before you. Just when we were in Sweden, we have some good friends. He had a gastric bypass and lost a ton of weight. And yeah. I've known him for years, you know, going on 8 years, and I've never seen him so happy and not grumpy. And I'm asking him about it. I'm like, is this just because you lost the weight? And he goes, it's because I don't fight myself anymore of this isn't me and keep trying to play soccer and get hurt or, you know, like, you know, he just described that he felt like himself for the first time. And, you know, he looks like he did when he was 25.
Right.
And so, I mean, and that's not what all of us are going to do. We're going to have to adjust to the, we don't get to go back to our 25-year-old bodies, but can we, you know, how do we grieve what we need to grieve? And how do we get support as we go through whatever it is? And so this person is clearly going through lots of medical parts of this too. And whenever we have to do that, we also need support and we also need to know we're not alone and that type of thing. So I'd really check with them on that, you know, just what's their support system look like? What else emotionally, psychologically do they need to feel supported and that they can have good and bad days with this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, recognizing that when all is said and done, I mean, I'm talking to my friend while we're on vacation. So, you know, what's it like on a Tuesday when real life is still there? You know, because not everything is how you look or how you feel in your body or how you think you look or whatever. So, yeah, it's really a balance. And the truth is we're all in this same exact boat. We just may not realize it and it may not be as dramatic, but just how are we, you know, living life, connecting to what our emotional needs are as we change, as we age, as we whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. One thing I was thinking of the other day, I follow this guy on TikTok who went from 450 down to, I think, 180, like just this amazing transformation. And he's documented the whole thing on 3 years straight or whatever, how long it's been on his TikTok videos. So every video is an update and a comparison and here's what he's doing and what diet and what workout and all that. So it's an inspiring, interesting thing to watch. One thing that got really interesting though is when he lost or got to the point where he lost most of that weight, there was a whole session where he's in front of a mirror looking at all of the skin that is just loose now because, you know, that's what happens. So it's just gobs of it, like everywhere. And him trying to, you know, make a decision about what to do. Do I handle it medically? Do I just live with it? Do I, you know, because it's what's actually worse being in his mind, being an overweight guy at the pool or being a guy who's in shape and feeling great, but has all this skin dragging behind him. Mm-hmm. And it to me, that was like this lesson of, it doesn't even matter how hard you go. You're still going to have something that you're gonna have to think about. In this case, it's a bunch of extra skin. And other people, it might be, I've never liked my nose, or it's my left ear's higher than the right one, or whatever. We're so weird this way, aren't we, as people? Like, yeah. I don't think dogs do this. They smell each other's butts and move on.
Whoa, does my butt smell that bad?
Yeah, they don't know. As far as I know, they don't know. I can't tell, but yeah. I don't think they have the vanity problem we have. And in fact, I think we're the only ones in the animal kingdom that do, I think. There's probably some monkey somewhere that's like, if I'm not groomed, I'm not going out, or who knows? I don't know.
Right.
But it's fascinating to me. So I hope this person.
Well, I mean, bringing up animals is an interesting addendum, right? Which is like, what's instinctual? What's survival? What's necessary? Mm-hmm. You know, do you think dogs know how cute they are? No, but they do know that if they tilt their heads and they put their ears this certain way and this is breeded into them, that they get fed by humans, right? Yeah.
They get a reaction, they get love and attention and all
totally.
That.
Totally. And that is, we are no different from this. And so when we look in the mirror and we see something we don't like, we amplify those things because it might mean, I mean, maybe this is too reductionistic, but it might not mean being loved or lovable or that people won't like me, because that's what happens sometimes. This isn't just, you know, based on nothing, but it's also, I think, the parts of us that obsess about these things and get, you know, really critical are really about just trying to get us to improve so that we get stuff we need to survive and thrive, right? Yeah, yeah. So we're all monkeys, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a bit the bottom line. I'm trying to do this more. It's funny this came up when it did, because I've been trying to just like not care. It's like, who cares? Like, why care? Like, I care about being healthy and healthier and, sure, you know, these things matter. But I really need to worry about, like, if I look in the mirror and go, oh, you're getting older. Yeah, of course you freaking are, you dumbass. You're getting older. Right. We all are. Everybody is.
How's it supposed to work otherwise?
Yeah, well, exactly. And
my friend has a great idea. She's like, this is why you got to have friends that are a good 7 to 10 years older than you. Mm-hmm. So by comparison, you're looking good, yeah, right? Like, you just... It's all relative, and it, you know, and I think what's kind of nice is that as you get older, some of this maturity will come, and recognizing like acceptance of oneself and like what really matters. And that may mean looking less in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, this is why you stop grooming and you get crazy hairs coming out of your ears and stuff. Stop looking.
No, you're right. But also just like, you know, I don't know, when people go, whatever, old man or old lady, like when they get a little bit ageist at some 20-year-old, you know, and you look at them and just think, I know I was like you when I was your age a little bit, but you do know that you're also aging, and you're aging at the same rate I am, literally the same rate I am. And also, if you don't, that either means you're going to die young, or you're going to get, which one do you want? How do you want it? Like, to me, I don't know why that logic didn't click when I was 20. I also was
and
like,
it won't click for them. And that's, it's like a built-in mechanism. Like, it doesn't get tripped until I think you sleep funny and you wake up in a lot of pain. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, you have to have a couple of those old moments. Like, I'd hurt my ankle and I ran across the streets, kind of shuffled slowly to hurry for a light, and Adam goes, oh, it started. And I'm like, what? He's like, you know, the old lady careful shuffle. And so you should see me now. I'm like, I will not care, and I will just run across streets, and I'm just trying. But the truth is, I don't want to get hurt again. And so this is why you start to shuffle, or you're just more careful. And then you think, okay, let's see, Grandma Moses, who can I be that's like old and just does whatever they want and is amazing? Right. Like, you have to get relative and figure out who you want to be like, not who you're comparing yourself to anymore, you know, in the opposite direction of you can't do it. Anyway, so let's say just one quick last thing about this emailer. Like, first of all, it's an amazing thing for anyone to change.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that is, the older I get, the more I am amazed anyone has ever changed. Like, it is a miracle and a phenomenon. And so to whatever they have done to change, to get healthier, and I don't mean lose weight. I mean whatever it meant to be healthier.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they still have work to be mentally healthy about all these changes, right? Like, we all have this same work ahead of us. But just keep going and get your support team around you and learn to love what you have. And that's kind of the cool part about the photo shoot and some other things, is it's an attempt to do that, right? It's an attempt to love where you're at, because when you love where you're at, it means you can be any shape or size, or you know, get all the things. I mean, have you guys seen these plastic surgery situations?
Oh man.
There is no self-love left. It's like you've changed everything to what you might like, but it's not about the outside stuff. And that's the easiest to change. Right.
Right.
So congratulations to them, and hang in there. And, you know, as you figure all this out, like, we're all in the same boat, just slightly different shaped boats, size boats, small unpainted boats, whatever. Right. but it's part of this crappy journey we call living.
What if I had, is this a weird idea? If I had all this skin removed, I would freeze chunks of it and send it to my relatives as a joke.
Okay.
Just as a joke. I say, hey, a little piece of me, you know, to have near you all the time you get in the mail.
I give you the skin off my back.
So, Scott, you know how you and I are alike?
Yeah.
You just did it. You just did it. You made it weird.
Yeah.
And you made it kind of worse, and you made it gross.
Yeah.
I have this problem, and people really struggle when they're like, oh, they think I'm all professional, and I'll suddenly just make something 1,000 times more disturbing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what just happened? I'm like, this genetic, I don't know how. But you and I have that.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done it. That was my goal. I did it today.
Yeah, way to go.
I feel
way
pretty
to be
good
yourself.
About it. Well, it's always good to talk to you. Of course, anything you want to mention or promote before we go?
No. Soon. I mean, we'll start Real Steps in the fall. We'll talk more about it as it gets closer. But at the moment, I'd just like to get through the next couple months alive.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Summer, kids. Woo,
yeah. You know. BA5. It's all going great.
Oh, yeah.
That thing needs to slow its roll.
BA5?
The new stupid variant that's getting everybody.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Even if you just had it.
Worse? I haven't
set up a residency in Vegas. I can't wait to go see it when I
There's a guy up our street who got it. The prior variant got pretty sick and now has this only 3 weeks after he got the other one.
Oh, geez.
And so the marker on this one is that it's very, very contagious and jumps through all your protective hoops, but is less overall in the end severe. So like, you know, you might get sick again and be irritated and whatever, but it's likely not going to put you in the hospital as quick. At least that's the general idea, but it's a big, it's a big turd, that thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So breathe in, breathe out.
By yourself in a corner. Yeah. real quick. Did I tell you, we had COVID, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You told me like while you were almost done with it and you were like having a horrible time and you never told us. Yeah.
But, yeah. Cause that's my style. But, what happened, this is so funny. Cause my neighbor reminded me this. It really does damage your brain. I swear I can't remember things. And I'm like, that happened. Okay. No lie. This happened. There was a raccoon and a baby on our roof. Like they got scared in this tornado-y storm and hid behind our chimney.
Oh my gosh.
She gave birth there, which is terrifying. Well, Tommy, our sweet dog, who is meant to do one thing in life, and that is to hunt things.
Yeah. It's a beagle.
He was losing
his
mind and kept staring at the roof and being crazy.
Yeah.
So we all are like COVID-brained stupid. So we decide to put Tommy on the roof.
This is what Motley Crue did for a while. Yeah, keep going.
So he could see that there was nothing going on and it would stop him from freaking out. Because we thought he just saw something climb up there and then he didn't see it leave and he will not stop he just was whining and whining. So here we are. Adam's up there on the roof with the dog and a bunch of kids. And I'm just taking pictures because I think it's funny. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there is a raccoon protecting her baby. And so then the dog's like, oh, there's a supply of raccoons on the roof.
Oh,
I will
never
stop whining. Oh, my gosh. So my neighbor comes over the other day, and she's like, I mean, I know you guys are pretty sick, but, like, what's that? Oh, bad decisions. Make decisions while on COVID.
That's good advice. It's good advice to follow. There's a lot of things
decisions.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we hope you have a fantastic week between then and now. And next week, we'll pick up this mic again and talk one more time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye bye.
I got to mark that. It was a nice bye bye.
Bye bye.
It was fun. I could use that. All right, Brian. Look, here's the deal. What's the deal? The deal is, here's the deal. We're at the part of the show where we're almost done. Now, before we get out of here, we got a quick email I'd like to read. This is I got a theme for it.
Send and receive email.
This is from Kristen in Stone Mountain, Georgia. This might be near Amy. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Says them
just outside of Atlanta.
Yeah, there you go. Says them salt guns. Hey, bug and salt. I like that.
Nice.
Bug of salt. My husband has one of these salt guns that you were talking about, and he loves it. He's a hit at the cul-de-sacs barbecues where he keeps the flies away, and the kids have a great time shooting as well. One downside, all of the food gets really salty, but, you know, still fun. Shoot a fly, though, Kristen. So wait, do you get like fly guts in your food?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, are you shooting the flies above the barbecue, above the food?
Ugh, this doesn't sound good at all.
I'm guessing not. Just I'm guessing it was a little joke, but
I would hope so. But
now anyway. I really want to get one of those. It's like, okay, confirmed. They're a lot of fun. I want one.
I want one too. If fly season's already kicking in here, and it usually is later, I mean, I could do it now and have a blast. I might do it. Yeah. I might do it. Also,
Ace Hardware, baby, right there in the checkout line, right before you, like your last impulse purchase, along with Pearson's salted nut rolls, is the Bug Assault gun.
Is it a brand I should look for? The Bug Assault brand?
Gun? I think it is the brand is the Bug Assault.
Oh, it's called Bug Assault. Okay.
Bug Assault.
Right. I may actually do it. I don't know. It's $45, but why not? quick note about what kind of programming you can expect over the weekend. Tomorrow, our Patreon couch party, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, 3 p.m. for patrons. Now, here's the thing. That's right. I'm going to, with Monica today, her and I are going to work out a step-by-step to make sure everybody who's a patron knows how to get in if they want to get in.
Cool.
It's going to be real simple. I'll do a post up there for patrons only on the Patreon, so you want to make sure to check the Patreon out if you're not getting notifications via email or something. Or you have all that turned off, you may, I don't know. But that's where we'll be putting it. If you have any questions, Monica said that she'd be happy to help people with how this works. It's super easy. You just have to know the 2-3 steps to do it. That'll get you in. It does mean you have to have Discord and be on it. So for those who are like, I don't do Discord, well, I don't know what to tell you. That may not work for you. But there will be, I am going to, like I said, I'm going to capture this whole thing after the fact. Or, you know, post it somewhere private. Because anywhere else would get us in trouble. But anyway, that's the plan. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Looking forward to it. Be there or be square. Core tonight at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Of course, Coverville, and Brian mentioned that. 1 p.m. today.
That's right.
And Film Sack Saturday with The Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Dead. I watched it last night because I have D&D tonight, and I don't know what's happening tomorrow night, so I had to watch it last night.
Movie's good, right?
I can't wait to hear it. How long has it been since you've seen it?
Probably 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been
like it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that prior to Film Sack, because I have some stuff to say along with that.
Yeah.
But, boy, is it not the movie that I remember seeing in theaters in the 90s when
really?
It came out.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were one of the ones that had seen it before, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Some interesting Sam Raimi-ish choices made.
Yeah, that is for sure. We'll see. It's been a bit, so I will definitely be watching that, and we'll be talking all about that on Saturday, so watch for that as well. All righty then. Quick Patreon note, patreon.com/TMS is where you can join us. You can be part of that couch party tomorrow if you want. You could be like Adam of Geekheim, who just signed up today. Or yesterday.
Great name. Excellent name.
Molly Fenton. We know her. Molly's awesome.
We do. Yeah.
Burrer and Joe McNally. These are all brand new people. Is it Bearer? Bearer.
Bearer. Maybe he's the bearer of bad news.
It might be. It's just a single name there. But anyway, they are all brand new patrons. You could be just like them over at patreon.com/TMS for all other things you need. It's at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, let's play a song and get out of here.
Okay, fine. Well, she's in the chat room today. It's September, aka 9 of 12. She wrote and said, my eldest son's father passed away. He introduced me to Nine Inch Nails, Dead Can Dance, and several others back when we were in college. So she's a dedication going out to her son's father, as well as, I believe, her son, right? You mentioned in our chat on Discord September that... this is also dedicated to your son. Thankfully, she gave me two choices. The first one, a little tough to find a perfect cover of it. But the second one, not only do I have lots of covers of it, I have lots of great covers of it. This was a hard one to choose from because they were so many different options. But this one, I think, is one of the best. The song is The Smiths' How Soon Is Now. I am the sun and the earth. this is Mike Viola's version of it, and he's got a very appropriate name because this version is super duper string heavy, which sounds amazing with this song. From his album Lonely Boy from 2012, here's Mike Viola and How Soon Is Now.
See some of you this weekend, the rest of you on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you then.
the sun and the air of a shyness that is criminally vulgar. I am the sun and air of nothing in particular. You shut your mouth, how can you say? I go about things the wrong way. I am human and I need to be loved, just like everybody else does. Thank you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.